Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
First and foremost, want to send thoughts out to everybody yesterday dealing with that severe weather. I hope that everybody was able to stay safe out there and relatively dry. Chew.
Yes?
I heard you had some property that moved from your property
yeah.
to someone else's property.
Yeah, my lift went 60 feet in the air and landed on the top of the lift. Yeah, there was some wild stuff, a lot of trees. I got a little bit of work to do today before I head back to FLA. Get to use a chainsaw, though.
What?
This is why I watch Axeman.
You know? Are they using chainsaws on Axeman?
Axeman is like his YouTube.
Because yeah. I've never seen an episode of Axeman. I just would figure, if you're going by the name Axeman, you would think like the chainsaw's cheating, and you're just using the old school axes. Some old school axes,
little,
saws.
Yeah. Axes aren't fun. They're just not. And they don't work great. You guys ever sling an axe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, but hold on. I'm talking about at the bar where they have like a target. And you throw
it.
I'm talking like that. You said sling an axe. That's what I thought he meant.
No, that's true, but that's kind of...
splitting firewood?
No, I think that's kind of a bad idea when you start mixing alcohol with axes.
Which is why typically when you go to those places, you cannot drink.
Oh, really?
Similarly, yeah. When you mix alcohol with X's,
yeah.
Don't do that either.
My problem with a chainsaw?
Oh, boy.
Typically trim a little too much off, because I get chainsaw happy.
Yeah, of course you do.
Yeah.
You like the vroom,
yeah.
Vroom.
Ooh, that branch looks like it needs to go. And then you have Charlie Brown Christmas trees. So
that's what you'll be doing today, cleaning up after the storms?
Yeah, but I'm not allowed to haul it away.
What do you mean?
Because I've been banned from using a trailer.
We need a list.
I told
Gabe.
You that story.
We need a list of things he's been banned from using.
Where it went right through the tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough when you buy a new truck because trucks are expensive. And within the first 2 hours operating it, the trailer unhitches and goes right through the tailgate for another $6,000 shot in the rear end.
So now you're not allowed
to use
a trailer.
It's actually the trailer's at my father-in-law's. So. Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
And I love how she knows, your wife knows, just saying your band isn't strong enough. She had to literally take the trailer away and put it someplace else.
I'll take it one step farther. Her friends texted her the picture of the tree that went down, and
oh,
she felt
goodness,
the need
yeah.
to say, you're not allowed to use the trailer.
So wait, then you're just going to leave the
No, I got a buddy. Not a buddy. The lawn service will come and
so you just
pick up
stack
the mess.
It and they'll just take it.
No, I just cut it.
You don't and then they come and get it.
Yes.
You just cut. Wow, it's a. Yeah. It's actually a. It's like your favorite day of the year then. This is.
I'm excited.
It's kind of a
even
reward.
Though it'll. Because she's like. Because I've been cleaning up. And when I do manual labor and sweat my you know what off that way, I snore like a banshee.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So I got beat up last night.
I wonder.
I can't tell if I'm sore from the work or just her beating the ever living.
Her rolling over and just.
Yeah.
But if you know that you're going to snore, which by the way, I still don't understand the connection. I understand like when people drink.
Yeah.
Why that affects their snoring. I don't understand why manual labor would affect
know.
Your snoring. But also, if you know that you did manual labor and you know that it makes you snore, you don't have an option. You don't have a second bedroom or something. You can.
Here's the problem.
Okay.
We were in Florida for New Year's, and my kids decided to have friends over, which turned into a sleepover, and I'm sure my kids didn't change the sheets, so I'm not sleeping in a bed where grimy 20-year-olds drinking all night were sleeping. So,
I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
That's fair. Like the Blammer?
Would you just burn the mattress?
Yeah, that's the problem. I said no. We can burn everything else, but no, the mattress, everyone loves the mattress. We can't get rid of that, so we're in negotiating right now. Thanks for bringing that visual up in my head again, where I saw him naked in the bed.
Try to get rid of that. How did I bring that up? You're the one who's just over there spitballing with your stories.
Yeah, but the tag word was mattress, and then my mind went right to that
shot. I don't think you should be able to sleep naked in other people's beds.
I tell him that.
I think that should just be a standard guest rule.
That's your responsibility to let him know, because you know his habits as his friend.
Gabe, I was just working on telling him to keep the door shut. He can't even do that. It's like he wanted everyone to see. Like, look at that's like when you go to the gym and all these old guys just saunter around with their donger hanging out,
walking
all around and wanting to talk to you, which is even worse.
Get the leg up on the bench as you're sitting there trying to change your
shoes. You should never, Gabe, never start a conversation in the bathroom when you're at the urinal. That's not a place to talk to
someone. No, that's to me, that's bathroom etiquette 101.
Yes.
I feel like that's just a reaction to the awkwardness of the bathroom, generally speaking. You know, people who they get into an awkward situation and they have to talk, and you're like, nah, man, we're good. We could just keep moving on.
Do women do that in the stalls or no?
No,
they don't.
No, unless you need toilet paper. Can you spare a square?
Seinfeld.
No spares. Yeah. No squares to spare.
Yeah.
It's the only time you're talking in the stalls.
I can look the other way and ignore it if you're at the urinal and somebody says something. But if I'm in a stall, leave me alone. Yeah. All right. Like then we're going to have to probably talk about this later of, hey, man, like what the hell's going on?
Do you check? Hold on. You don't check to see if there's toilet paper before you do your biz?
No.
Guys do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
That's the last thing you want.
I mean, you just go in there, you start, and then you're like, oh, phew, if it's there.
Yeah.
If it's not, well, now we got to figure something out. Then you do a little shake. You guys do the shake when you...
Oh, yeah, but it's easy for us. Well, then you just use your underwear and you throw the underwear away. I've done that before.
Yeah, it's not shocking.
But it's been in the woods, so there's no toilet paper in the woods.
What do you do with the underwear?
Toss it.
In the woods?
Sure.
Jeez.
You should never eat lobster before going to your son's basketball game with a 45-minute drive.
This is your rule, huh? Would you get a bad lobster? Because
your stomach starts like too much butter. You know when you get that.
Well, I mean, but if you're getting lobster, you can't not get the butter.
Yeah.
I mean, what do we... Yeah. We live in a society, Chew.
With clam chowder, that's a lot of rich
that's
food.
A lot of,
yeah.
It's a lot of seafood, pal.
Yeah.
I haven't
in case you haven't noticed, we're not that close to the sea.
All of a sudden, I'm feeling the need to return.
Cleanse.
All right, so we got a lot of stuff we got to get to this morning here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Let's begin with the Brewers, who dropped another game last night. Their losing streak has reached 6 straight. And last night, it was squarely on the bullpen. Toronto scoring 3 runs in the 9th, 3 more in the 10th. Brewers end up losing 9-7. And I think we may have a Trevor Megill problem. I think with his 14-plus ERA to start the season, we may need to revisit this closer situation. Now, it's not like Abner Uribe didn't give up a run as well. He did in the 8th inning. But the Brewers could have won that game. That was a very winnable game. And so, Gabe, how do you think Murph and company are going to handle this? We'll get to the comments in just a moment, but just for starters, how do they handle whether or not they trot him back out there, Trevor Megill, in a save situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's really just been the last 2 outings, so Friday and Tuesday, because before that, he came in, he was 3-for-3 in save opportunities, lost a game in a non-save opportunity, but the ERA is 2.25, gave up 1 run, so he came in a tie game, gave up a run. All right, that happens, right? You give up 1 run in 4 outings, I think you're going to be pretty happy with that and that 2.25 ERA. But to not get an out and give up 4 runs, to give up 3 runs last night and blow the save, and the bullpen just as a whole has been shaky. And I think that's the bigger problem is, like you said, Uribe's been shaky. Jared Koenig is somebody they might turn to. He's on the IL. Who knows what's going to happen with him long term. The bullpen's pretty beat up right now for being this early in the season because they haven't been all that good. And my guess is that, yes, I don't think if there is a save situation tonight that they're going to trot Trevor out there. But I honestly don't know who they're going to turn to. My guess is Uribe, but again, he hasn't been the Abner Uribe that you were expecting to be out there either.
Well, and I think, Chewy, the other thing that's frustrating about last night's loss specifically is your offense is already pretty thin, right? Mm-hmm. You've got injuries at a lot of positions. Guys are stepping up. But the fact that they were able to mount a comeback, make it even again, and then go as soon as they went back out there on defense, it was game over. And I said it last night, like, how much magic does this team need to have in them in order to win a game? They should have won that game in regular innings, mm-hmm. and then they should have won that game when they pushed it to extras. But again, the bullpen, as Gabe has mentioned, is in a funk. So the next layer of this is that after the game, and Josh, I assume we have sound from our friend Pat Murphy, the manager. After the game, when Pat Murphy was asked about Trevor McGill, he had this to say.
The fans booing him after he saved 30 games for this team, a kid that's been through all that he's been through, and what he did the year before for us to help us win the division, and then what he did last year, and then came out with an arm injury and still pitched, and pitched one of the biggest innings of the game five. And for them to be booing him up there, that's just not our best fans, that's for sure. And we have the great fans. But let's remind them of that. Are they okay to be disappointed? But sometimes young men go through tough stuff. I was disappointed. And that those people wouldn't support him when he's going through that stuff. Does he probably care? No. Is it expected? That's fine. But let's not be, these aren't machines out there. These are people.
I mean, no one likes to be booed. But they say there was a saying when I played, you're only as good as your last game. So no one cares about last year. No one does. It's a different year, different team. And I agree with them if it was a one-off, where because you have a bad game. I told you about the Philadelphia game where I mm-hmm. dropped a handful. I didn't get booed, but I got put in my place by a fan, which was wonderful because I refused to sign an autograph because I was in a bad mood. And he said, catch the ball. I'm like, good talk. That was fair. 14.4 ERA.
I mean, it's all about the last two outings. Again, before the last two outings,
yeah,
it was fine. And now he's given up. I mean, he didn't get an out on Friday against the Nationals, and they lost that game 7-3. He gave up four runs.
I mean, that's part, when you sign up to be a professional athlete, man, and you don't perform like you're supposed to, and you're getting paid a lot of money.
I like Murph.
I kind of think the fans have a right to voice their displeasure.
I like Murph. I think he presses all the right buttons most of the time when it comes to the team. Obviously, right now, he's got to dig deep and figure out what his bullpen situation is, what his options are. I don't think a coach/manager should admonish the fans. I think fans pay for the ticket. They go to the ball game. They know what's at stake. They watched the ebbs and the flows. They watched the ups and the downs. They saw the team, you know, make a comeback late. But if you're disappointed in a player's performance, you should be able to boo. And I'm not saying boo all the time. Yeah, because that's how you get a bad reputation as a fan base. But I think, you know, yesterday's game notwithstanding, I do think that there was disappointment. And how else are fans supposed to show their disappointment?
Yeah.
You know what? From now on, I'm not going to boo. I'm just going to put a thumbs down. I'm just going to stand there with my hand in the air, Gabe, and put a thumbs down.
Yeah, but like, I guess... I've never understood booing your own guys unless it's a lack of effort thing. And we saw a lack of effort, and that's why I think the Bucks got booed earlier this year. And that was obvious from watching the game. If you're losing an NBA game by some of the amounts the Bucks were losing earlier this year, it's a lack of effort thing. And that I understand because, like, yes, you're paying your hard-earned money, that you got to put out an effort. I don't think it's a lack of effort thing for Trevor McGill. And again, to Trevor's credit, he always stands up. I mean, Friday night, he stood up, he faced it. I stuck tonight. Like, that's part of who Trevor McGill is, and I absolutely respect that. So I'm just not someone who understands booing Trevor McGill last night unless you think he was trying to throw the game, which I do not think that's what Trevor was
doing.
Let
me ask you this, though, Gabe. If McManus, the last game they played in Chicago, mm-hmm. was at home, would the fans have a right to boo him?
They probably would have. I would not. Because, again, I don't think he's trying to miss field goals.
No.
You know, I don't think he's just out there dogging it. You know, it stinks when you miss field goals, and the consequence for that action is, as we've seen in Green Bay, a constant rotating door of kickers since Mason Crosby left.
But let me ask you this, though. Does the booze represent the fans saying, hey, Murph, get this guy out of here for now. Let's find someone else. He ain't getting it done. That's a little bit how I interpret.
If we're booing Pat Murphy, then we got bigger issues.
But I understand what Murph's just having his guys back.
Yeah,
what you would expect as a manager, and 1,000%. that's why the players love him. But he has to have a hard conversation with him.
Oh, and he said as much.
And let me add another bit of detail to this. Wasn't there some conversation during spring about what the roles were going to be in the bullpen, about Abner Uribe and Trevor Megill? And Trevor Megill, you know, again, we love him. He's been great. But didn't he kind of put his foot down on he didn't want to share, quote unquote, closer duties? Or he was pretty adamant about how he wants to be the closer. Whereas Murph was kind of like, hey, we may need to use both these guys. It may be a closer by committee. And I don't know if... I'm not saying that fans were interpreting that or bringing that into last night, but there is that detail of this arrangement that I do think is important. The other thing is, can we not separate performance from person? Can we not say that the fans were booing the performance, not the person?
Yeah. Well, so you get to blow one save and then you get booed? That's all it takes? Like, guys blow saves. That's baseball. That's what happens.
No, I agree. I agree.
Like, if it was multiple, and look, I understand it's back-to-back, but like... Again, that's just not how I'm wired. You know, I'm never going to be able to stop people from booing, but like I understand booing lack of effort. And especially when this it's the middle of April.
No,
you know,
I know.
And the 6-game losing streak sucks, and that obviously plays into it as well. But man, I don't think booing solves anything either.
No. And there's a, you know, these guys are human, so it might be more than a baseball thing. And I remember Holmgren, he'd pull guys in. And I remember in college, I got pulled in my sophomore year. Got dumped by a girlfriend, was down in the dumps, play was reflecting a little bit. Jack Bicknell, who I absolutely love, pulled me in and just sat me down. I mean, I'm 19 years old, and he's like, what's going on? What's up? And then just spelled it. He's like, look. You're going to play in the NFL for 10 years, you know? And that's all it took. Then I'm like, okay, it's off my back, you know, because you feel sorry for yourself. So there might be more. You don't know if there's someone sick in the family trouble, whatever it may be. But a hard talk needs, you know, a hard talk needs to be done. Like, pull him in, say, what's going on?
Oh, and
he's either going to say this, that, or he's going to say, I just don't feel it out there right now. And all right, we'll work through it.
And Murph said that last night, that they're going to have a tough conversation about who's closing games in the ninth inning right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a conversation that they're going to have.
So we got two things rolling here, gang. We got the fans booing and whether or not you think they should or should not. And then you've got Murphy calling out the fans for booing, whether you think he should or should not. 800-990-3776. Lots of layers to this. I think you guys have done a good job of detailing some of them. Was it wrong for Brewers fans? Was it wrong for Brewers fans to boo Trevor Megill last night? We'll put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll. You can weigh in on that. Again, if it was one guy, you might be like, oh, yeah, this guy, what is he thinking? But it was a collective, right? So there is also this detail, guys, of Brewers fans now, not yesterday, but now, have a higher standard. They expect this team to win. And obviously now I think they've pulled even, right? Did I check last that they're now 8-8?
Correct.
Now 8-8 on a 6-game losing streak. There are some frustrations from the fan base. Weigh in on that. 800-990-3776. Was it wrong for Brewers fans to boo Trevor Megill last night as the Brewers dropped their game against the Blue Jays 9-7, the final in extras? We'll be right back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
That's right. It is a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Tony Wendorf and Associates, Keller Williams. They believe in the human side of real estate, faith, family, friends. They move fast, negotiate with confidence, and communicate clearly so their clients win. No matter if it's buying or selling, get started today. WendorfTeam.kw.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You can just save yourself so much time by going, okay, we like this guy, this guy, this guy. Let's take a look at all the different things he did at the combine. I just hit my phone, and now my hand is just tingling.
What is with you two today? Jesus. Do you know how to function?
I just like...
On 94.5 ESPN.
Calling all gamers, jackpot chasers, and Monopoly lovers. Get ready to relive your childhood because Monopoly just hit Potawatomi Casino Hotel, and this time it's paying out real cash. Watch Mr. Monopoly race around the board collecting gold bags and properties just like the game you grew up playing. Every spin moves him closer and closer to bigger bonuses, bigger multipliers, and big-time Monopoly-style wins. Do not miss your chance to be one of the first to jump in. Monopoly Big Board Bucks is at Potawatomi Casino, and it's the only thing, I'm sorry, and the only thing missing is you landing on Go and cashing in. Learn more at Potawatomi Casino Hotel. We got a lot of reaction rolling in this morning. Jeff in the 920 willing to take responsibility for the Brewers losing streak. He says, guys, this is on me. The Brewers are 1-6 since I bought the MLB package. Very kind of you, Jeff.
Well, I got off to a good start, though. 1-0.
A in the 414 says, I'm with Gabe. So many Brewers fans act like the Major League Baseball is the NFL and freak out over every game. We're only 10% of the way into the season, and people are already losing their minds. Meanwhile, Jordan in the 262 says, it's too early to boo this team. Our fans need to realize these are human beings, not just baseball players. Blowing saves is a part of the game. Let's go out to the phone line. Go ahead, Gabe.
Well, I was just going to say, like, are we not booing? Because, like, the offense has underperformed at times as well. Sal Frelick's hitting 192 right now. I don't think that's big of a deal. How come no one's booing Sal Frelick? Right? Like, if we're going to boo Trevor, shouldn't we be booing Sal? Because Sal's out there striking out a couple times a night right now. But because he's got a track record, because we like Sal more than we like Trevor, he doesn't get booed?
I think the closer position also is sort of like that individual spot that garners more praise and or criticism. It's kind of like the quarterback, a little bit. Starting pitcher is probably the better comp, but it's a little like, you know, like a Micah Parsons, if you will, of the defense, right? Like, there's a part of me that thinks that, you know, heavy the head that wears the crown, and that's sort of what goes along with being the closer.
Yeah, there's no hiding. You really can't hide as a closer.
No, and again, yeah. And it takes a special type of player to be that closer. I think we've seen that over the years, mm-hmm. that not everybody can transition. Those last three outs mentally can always be a little tough. And I've always loved Trevor's mentality, and he's always willing to step up and own it when it doesn't go well. And I think that's the type of guy you want in that closer's role. Now we just got to figure out why people aren't swinging and missing at the fastball.
Meanwhile, Dave weighing in saying, the dude only pitches 40 to 50 innings per year. He's got to get it right. And I think that is part of it as well. You know, Sal Frelick is going to have multiple opportunities in a game to go up there and get a hit. One detail from last night's game, and I know I mentioned this to you guys, is, you know, it's late in the game. They're trying to mount a comeback, and they're like, only need a base hit here, right? You got a couple of ducks on the pond, and you got Gary Sanchez at the dish. And I'm like, well, Gary has two speeds, folks. He's either striking out or he's taking it long. I'm not sure he is going to deliver a base hit here. And sure enough, Gary struck out, I believe, in both opportunities he had. Struck out looking? Was that the last one, Gabe?
He tried to check his swing and couldn't.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's when he struck out. Otherwise, I mean, again, Gary's one of the few Brewers who's a true three-out guy.
The thing is, it's hard. It'll be hard for McGill to get that screw you mentality, you know, if he does turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
Because as an athlete, you have that in the back of your head. Oh, but you were booing me early in the season. Oh, yeah. Now you love me? Oh, screw you. I mean, that's human nature, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We see you go through it, you know, through that roller coaster 10 times a day.
Yeah.
You love Joshy. You hate Joshy.
Yeah.
You do something right. You tell Joshy, screw you. You know, we see it all the time.
Yeah, but I'm nuts.
Let's go out to the phone lines. Jack and Tosa waiting patiently on the line, 800-990-3776. Good morning, Jack. Your reaction to yesterday's Brewers game and the booing of Trevor McGill.
Morning, guys. Two things. One, during the game, I'm yelling at them not to pitch to Guerrero. Was I the only one that was going, why pitch to this guy? Put him on first, create the force. You know, I mean, Gabe acts like we can't question anything Murph does, and he's great, but sometimes he doesn't make the right decisions, and we don't agree with him.
Well, that's fine, but I don't know. Are you going to boo him on April 14th?
No, but the booing, I don't think they were booing McGill as much as the decision to put McGill in. this team needed a win. They had five straight losses. We had that really good chance to win that game. He's not right now, Gabe. You played college baseball. I played baseball. You can tell he is not right now. I wouldn't put him in a situation to fail. Put him in a situation where you have a bigger lead, it's an easier save, and it's not against the Blue Jays. I just don't agree with that. I don't think he's right in the head right now.
I mean,
and I think you put him out there, and it just made things worse.
But again, so I just look at, so yeah, Friday was rough for him, but his outing before that, he was really good. Picked up a save in 12 pitches. So I think you go into last night thinking, okay, the aberration right now was Friday night, and now you have the evidence of last night of, okay, yeah, now something clearly isn't going right now with this guy.
Could you flip him and Uribe?
But the problem is Uribe's ERA is almost six.
Yeah.
And my guess is that's the guy they turned to, because again, I think they were turned to Koenig, but he's hurt. And we don't know if he's going to pitch at all this year. And there's really nobody else in that bullpen, I think, right now that you feel good in terms of turning that ninth inning over to. I think they like Zastrzyzny, but he's hurt right now too. Mm. Serpa's given up a few runs here and there. Like, a lot of the veteran arms that you were expecting to be lights out for this team, they've struggled during this losing streak.
800-990-3776. Was it wrong for Brewers fans to boo Trevor Megill last night? Megill now has a 14-plus ERA. Blew the save last night. Brewers end up dropping their sixth in a row. And after the game, Pat Murphy said that he didn't like that the fans were booing him. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We've got Adam Schefter coming up next. Stick around, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
Craving big, bold flavor? And then get excited because Screamin' Sicilian Original and Thin and Crispy pizzas are buy one, get one at Pick and Save in Metro Market. That means twice the pizza, twice the attitude, twice the flavor that you love. We're talking buttery, stone-fired crust on the original. Seriously crispy, thin and crispy crust, loads of toppings, whole McMozzarella, and that unapologetically bold Screamin' Sicilian flavor. It's the perfect excuse to stock up. Share or don't share. Because remember, more toppings, more flavor, more is amore, and you don't want to wait. Buy one, get one at Pick and Save and Metro Market going on now through April 21st with the Screamin' Sicilian Original and the great thin and crispy pizzas. Buy one, get one, run to the freezer aisle while they last.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And Joshy's biggest fan.
It's nice to see Josh at the big boy table. Thank you, everybody. Keep up the good work, Josh.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino, Tony Wendorf and Associates, and Smart 18 Union.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates. Just like the moves made in the pros, Tony Wendorf and Associates, Keller Williams, helps people make their own big moves every single day. Trusted knowledge, superior service. They're the real estate MVPs in Wisconsin. If you're looking to buy or sell a house, make the move and get in touch with Tony Wendorf and Associates. Good morning, Adam Schefter. How are you today, sir?
How are we doing?
We're good. We had some crazy storms roll through Wisconsin last night, so we're digging out. Chewy's going to bust out the chainsaw today. He's giddy as a schoolgirl.
A little bit of damage.
How come? Oh, because of all the stuff there.
Yeah. My lift went about 60 yards in the air.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some fun stuff.
So now he's got to chop up some trees today. We are just about a week away from the NFL draft. Beyond Fernando Mendoza, who has chosen to not attend, will not be in Pittsburgh. What's the biggest story that you're seeing pop a week out?
You know, I think it's some of the storylines that aren't necessarily directly involved in the draft. What is Aaron Rodgers doing and thinking? What are the Eagles going to do with A.J. Brown? Like, there are a couple of things that still are out there. The draft itself, obviously, has all kinds of storylines. It just depends on how you want to look at it, right? Where is Jeremiah Love going to go? Where is Ty Simpson going to go? When is the second quarterback going to be picked? Where's this running offensive lineman going to start? How do these wide receivers shake out? Like, there's a bunch of draft questions that we get every year on a lot of these guys. But I just think some of these bigger questions that are looming out there don't necessarily involve the draft right now.
Adam, would you consider this a good draft? And where is it deep at? What positions?
I think that when you speak to people around the league, it lacks some of the star power that other drafts have had. There are definitely good players. It's a solid draft. I think it sets up pretty well for the Packers in the fact that they believe that there's a lot of talent in the back end and they don't have the early pick, so they're happy about that. You know, I think that there's always talent in every draft. It's just up to these teams to find it. It looks like there's some really good wide receivers in this draft. There's some excellent offensive linemen, the tackles. Like I said, there'll be a run on those. Not great at quarterback. Not great at running back pass, Love. Not great at cornerback. Some good pass rushers. Not great at defensive tackle. So, like, it's got some areas that it's stronger than others, I would say.
Adam Schefter joining us right now on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. Yuengling, now officially here in Wisconsin, family-owned and operated for six generations, D.G. Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. Of course, Adam Schefter is brought to us by the Island Resort & Casino, premier resort destination, largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com. Book your total experience today. And Schefty, you mentioned A.J. Brown with the Eagles, and the Packers just made the trade, less than a week ago at this point, sending Dontavian Wicks there. Packers get a couple picks in return, and Wicks gets a $12.5 million contract. That indicates to me that they're anticipating him playing a role, and I would think in order to play the role he's expecting to, they got to move A.J. Brown, right?
Well, they don't have to, but again, I think it's very much on the table, and $12.5 million right now in this league is probably number two, maybe number three wide receiver money. And they lost Jahan Dotson in free agency, and we know that there's a real possibility they're going to move on from A.J. Brown. Like, that just continues to linger out there, and it certainly feels like it's trending that way. So let's just operate in a world where they trade A.J. Brown. Well, if you trade A.J. Brown and you lose Jahan Dotson, you need somebody like Dontavian Wicks. Even if you have A.J. Brown back, and obviously we're skeptical of that happening, then Dontavian Wicks could step in and be the three very easily and be a good three for them at $12.5 million.
Adam, how is the league viewing running backs right now? And I'm going to push this through the Jeremiah Love prism because I think I heard a stat, and I'm not going to be able to quote it exactly, but it was basically like there hasn't been a team to win the championship with a rookie running back since 2000 or something crazy like that. Is Jeremiah Love the type of guy who can have an immediate impact with the way that the league is valuing running backs in 2026 and beyond?
Well, I don't put any credence into that stat. A rookie running back hasn't won. I mean, that's probably just a fluky thing. Remember when Denver had Terrell Davis, the team that I covered? He may not have been a rookie when they won the Super Bowl, but I think he might have been his sophomore year, and they could have won it his rookie year. And usually, like, we've had a run here where it was great teams, like Mahomes with the Chiefs, and I mean, did they not win the Super Bowl, I guess, when Clyde Edwards-Helaire was not a rookie running back? I guess they didn't that year, but they won it a lot of other years, and they could have won it when he was a rookie running back, and for whatever reason, according to your stat, it sounds like they didn't. So I take that out of it. I just think when it comes to running backs, I think running backs have reestablished their value some in the NFL. But the issue that you're facing is that if you're going to go draft a pass rusher, we're seeing pass rushers now be paid $40-plus million a year. So if you get a pass rusher and you're paying him on a rookie contract, you know, what are you paying him? $7, $8 million a year? Whereas, you know, a running back, the single best running backs in the league make 20. The majority of running backs, good running backs, make 10, 11, 12. And really, teams feel like they can get running backs for, you know, 5, 6, 7 good running backs, million a year. So when you're drafting a running back in the first round high, you're paying that guy like a premium running back starter. And from a running back standpoint, maybe that doesn't necessarily equate to great value. Bless you. You're sneezing to the truth. But it's still like if there's a great running back, to me, I got no issues taking him earlier in the draft.
Adam, it looks like the Giants and Dexter Lawrence are at an impasse and a trade is becoming more likely. Who are some of the teams and are the Packers one of them?
Let me look at my list here. Hold on 1 second. Of teams that I think could be in on Dexter Lawrence to see if I could see the Packers in that mix. Yes, I could see them in that mix.
Okay. What do you think it would take? Because it would be a trade and sign, correct?
Yeah. He's got 2 years left in his contract. You don't have to sign him to anything. But obviously he's wanted out of New York because he's not happy with his contract. Yeah. So I think that the acquiring team would have some idea of what he's looking for and some understanding that they would be able to figure out something that would make him happy. I mean, I guess a team could trade for him and not pay him and not address that, but that would be a little crazy that you're going to give up. Let's just call it. My guess is a 2 and a 5. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that sounds
seems like
right.
A fair price.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Joshy.
Huh. Who just Brian acquired an extra fifth round pick, Josh?
Josh is doing the Brian Windhorst. Why would he do that back there?
That's my sense of what it would take for Dexter. I don't know that it's right. I have not heard from any team in my own mind. Like I had somebody suggest to me, oh, they think it would be a first round pick. I don't know that anybody's trading a first round pick for a 28-year-old defense tackle who wants more money, who is coming off by his standards a down year. I don't see that. But look, if somebody wants him bad enough and values him bad enough, maybe they do get a one for him.
So with that in mind, is the deadline for the Giants and him next Thursday, Friday, to get a deal done before those picks are made?
I don't look at it as a deadline, Gabe. I look at it as like these are like windows in time to do the deal. And that would be a wide open window where if you're going to make a trade for Dexter Lawrence, it gets done in the next week or so, right? With the draft picks in mind. If the Giants couldn't find a trade partner and they couldn't trade him, well, that would leave open the idea that they could keep talking contract. And who knows, maybe they trade him on the eve of training camp to somebody. That could happen. They could trade him before the season starts. That could happen. But you would think that with all the draft picks at stake here, like that would be the most logical time to make this deal.
Adam Schefter hanging out here with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Before we let you go, Adam, I'm going to go completely off brand here.
Yeah.
How was your Masters experience? Did it deliver in every way that you wanted it to this past weekend?
I didn't go.
No. I know, but you watched you saw Rory win for a second straight time.
Yep. Well, my experience usually is correlated to the golfer that I choose in my golf pool. I'm not even going to tell you that we're near the bottom of the standings this year because we are. We've had a terrible year of picks. It just from Colin Morikawa and the Players when he WD'd after on the second hole we had him in the richest tournament of the year. It's just been a bad golf year. I think I need to stick to fantasy basketball. I had Tommy Fleetwood this past weekend, and on Thursday and Friday he was playing great, and then he went south. So that wasn't great. But I was very happy for Rory. He was unbelievable. I don't think it was quite as dramatic as last year, but it was still entertaining to watch with three golfers holding two-shot leads on Sunday. And it's always fun to sit back and watch the Masters.
Adam, I don't like when championships are won by choke. And that's how I looked at this Masters. Too many guys choked. Like, I don't want to see a guy miss a field goal to win the Super Bowl. I want to see him make it.
I mean, but Rory went out and had the shot of the day at 12, followed up with a great up and down, made birdie
still,
on 13.
Too much choke.
Gotta go grab it.
Isn't every championship technically won by some degree of choke?
No, not in my mind.
When he was 18 and he drove it right and he's standing there in those trees and you're like, what's he going to do with this? I think you're like, wow, you know, how's he going to do this? And of course, we never saw a replay of that, but I don't understand how he got the shot from where he did and he hooked it into the bunker in front of the green. Like, I'm like,
all right.
Okay.
Adam, let me ask you.
Yeah.
And you were there. Did we choke in Super Bowl 32?
No.
We were 12-point favorites.
Chewy.
What?
Chewy.
Yes.
You came out, and on that day, that other team that beat you, I'm sorry, was better than you. They it felt like to me they wanted it more. They had never won ever. They had never won, and they came out with purpose. And Steve Atwater was throwing his body around. And Manowski was a madman like always. And Neil Smith, like, I mean, I remember that game vividly.
So do I. Unfortunately.
And that team came out and gave you everything that you could handle and more. Am I correct?
Yes. And you know what I always say, Adam?
Yeah.
I got my guy.
Who was your guy?
I had a pretty good game.
Chewy had a huge game.
Not huge, but I had, you know.
His touchdown? Well, he had like 80 yards and a touchdown?
Big catch over the middle.
Who was covering you? Like, who did you felt like
you'd be in that? The guy from Madison. I hated him. He's a little cheap shot. Not Crockett, the other one.
Darian Gordon?
No.
Tyrone Braxton?
Tyrone Braxton. Yeah. Cheap shot of me in the game. I'm in the flat just standing there, and he plants one in my back. The ball wasn't even coming that way. Oh, was I mad. But I got Crockett back on your sideline, so I felt much better. And Romanowski's a punk. He punched me in the flipping head in the fourth quarter right in front of the referee, and I was smart enough. Usually I'm not smart enough. I punch back.
Yep.
And I looked at the ref, and he didn't throw the flag. I wish I punched him.
I wrote a book with Romanowski.
Did you really?
You didn't know this? Sorry, I haven't told you the story. First of all, there's nobody like him. Like, he is.
He's one very unique. I went to school with him, Adam.
Yeah. Okay. So you know.
Yes.
You know. Okay. So we agreed to start the book. They had won two Super Bowls. We're doing a book, and he wanted to do a tell-all book. You know, like everything. You know, he's ever experienced, done the whole thing. By the way, we wrote like five versions of the book, and every time it get more and more sanitized. But okay.
Adam. He called me stupid. Or you called me stupid in the book.
That was me, not him. That was me.
What?
No, in the book, he said I was the dumbest player I ever played against. I'm like,
what?
Yes.
Okay, well, I didn't realize that.
What, that I was the dumbest player? Or that was in the book?
Well, no, I think it's that you could read.
Oh, okay.
He said, don't worry about it. He won't be able to read that word.
Oh, I didn't know you wrote the book, Adam.
I do. I wrote the book. And I showed up at his house the very first day. He's like, come to my house at noon. We'll start getting to work then. Great. I go to his house at noon. I'm ringing the bell, knocking on the door. Nobody's answering. Knock again. This goes on for 5 minutes. Finally, like, I open the door. I'm like, Romo? He's like, yeah, I'm upstairs, Adam. Come on in. You want a vitamin C IV? I'm like, no thanks, Romo. As a matter of generality, I don't like to put needles in my arms just for the fun of it.
Was he injecting goat semen into himself?
What?
I heard that somewhere. No, for real.
What?
He's nuts. Adam.
I will say this. There were a lot of things I heard. I never heard goat semen. Okay.
I feel like we should leave it there.
That's okay. A good start.
I feel like we should leave it.
What an
there.
Unbelievable turn this took. Just
walk off, Adam. That's all we need.
Showmanship.
Oh, Adam, we appreciate you so much. You just never know.
Chewy, goat semen.
I don't know. That's what I heard.
Seems like you should stick by the claims you made in the book, Shefty.
Adam, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week.
Guys.
I guess I'll see Adam in Pittsburgh next week.
Yeah.
Right.
Perfect.
Of course, Adam Schefter brought to us by Smart 18, the union for Wisconsin's sheet metal workers. If you want to earn more and build a real career in the trades, this is where it starts. Better pay, incredible benefits, real training, real representation. This isn't just a job, it's a future. Learn more. Smart18.work.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys. Let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days of burgers?
That was very condescending.
Let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
For 70 years, Geis has been the trusted garage authority in Wisconsin. Don't let a busted garage door get you down. Call my friends at Geis today. With brands like CHI and LiftMaster, they have doors for every budget, or they'll build you a custom design to meet your exact needs. Don't think twice. Call Geis. It's geisdoors.com, GEISdoors.com, GEISdoors.com. Always great to have Adam Schefter on our program. Chewy, you feeling a certain way after the revelation at the end of that conversation?
I can't believe you wrote the book. Because my buddy called, I think he read the book right after, and he's like, yeah, he called you stupid in the book. I'm like, yeah, screw him. And then Adam?
He's just writing what, you know, Romo tells
him
to write.
That's how it works, yeah. It's like...
That's fair.
Yeah. He might have even said, are you sure you want to say that about Chewy? When did that book come out, by the way?
Oh, 20
years
ago? Yeah, long.
Why? Do you remember why you were called stupid?
I don't know. You know what? And I actually liked him in college. I was a freshman and he was a senior. And, you know, most times, I mean, this is 1987, 88, where, you know, there was hazing and old guys wouldn't hang out with the young guys. And he kind of took us under his wing. And then he went to the NFL. And I guess goat semen will do that to you. Turn into a nut job.
I mean, for the record, Adam could not confirm
goat
semen being something he was injecting.
But what was he injecting? Vitamin C?
Oh, you know, like IV. You know, everybody does that IV therapy.
Yeah, but in 1996?
So the book came out in 2005.
Oh.
So it was after, the book came out after he was done playing.
Okay. I mean, did he mention in the book that he spit in someone's face?
Probably not.
What do you have to say about that?
I mean, maybe in the first version. Remember, Adam said there were multiple versions. It
kept getting tamer and tamer. Obviously, the part about you being an idiot didn't get, you know, edited out of the book.
I'd rather be an idiot than be the dirtiest player in the NFL.
Okay,
I think that's fair.
Can we poll that?
But first of all, you're not an idiot.
We've
we
got
all
more
know,
important
like,
polls.
I have.
Would you rather be an idiot or dirty?
See, now I don't like him.
Shefty?
No.
Oh.
Josh. Ask him to do something very politely and he...
You got bigger fish to fry.
We do. Yeah.
Dexter Lawrence. Did you hear what Adam Schefter had to say about that? We will get to that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on. Stick around.